Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Queercast show number 600.
Wow, that's a lot of shows.
I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hey, Mitchell.
Hi.
Can you believe 600 shows?
That's a lot.
I don't know why it feels 500. We definitely marked and talked about and acknowledged, but I don't know. Somehow heading into 600 feels like I believe now I think I've definitely done more podcasts over the year than when I was on weekly radio. You know,
really?
Like daily radio. Yeah, because it's kind of hard when you're on the radio 3 and 4 times a week to when you're only on once a week to
right.
kind of have it add up. But wow, 600 shows. If you told me.
Amazing.
In April 11th of 2006.
That's when you started.
Every week I would be talking about LGBT issues on a show that anyone can listen to for free. Conversations.
Unedited, uncensored.
I mean, pretty much anything and everything has happened. Laughing fits where we can't stop laughing.
Right. You saying dirty words in Yiddish.
You know, tears.
Tears.
You know, compelling new things, breaking news, people saying I've not told anybody else, but it's happened here. And of course, catching up with friends and... we've created kind of a pattern of traditions on the show, things that we do annually, like whether it's sitting down here and talking after the Oscars after the Tonys.
Right.
Also, I've had the pleasure of doing like a year in review every year, looking back on the year with Andrew Davis and whoever his head writer has been. For a while, it was Amy Wooten, and then... Matt Simonette now is joining us each year. So that'll be coming up as we are close to the end of the year.
That's crazy to me.
Right? I don't know, just an interesting
You've talked to a lot
forum.
Of interesting people.
I have talked to a lot of interesting people. You know, I was trying to kind of catalog some of the people that I've talked to and look back, and it's like, oh my gosh, I forget.
Right. You know?
It's
right.
Like, it's like, oh my God, I forget that they've been on the show. I mean, some of the names, and just, you know, we can see what comes to mind when we talk about it. I mean, I think one of the biggest things was it wasn't as big when we landed her because she became big so quickly, but that was Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga came to be... in a special appearance with us at the Windy City Gay Idol in 2008. And nobody knew who she was. So when her people called, I mean, I knew who she was because I had gotten her 3-song EP. And none of her CDs had come out yet.
I remember listening to it in your car.
Yeah. And she, you know, nobody knew who she really was. But I was like, well, she's really, you know, she's really fun. She's really good. And And they called and we said, we have no money. We have no space for a band. So if they want to come and play for free to a track, great. And she came with her two dancers and we had a blast. And she and I got to hang out backstage at Circuit Nightclub where we were doing it for, I mean, a couple of hours, really. And great night. She had a great appearance.
And you thought she was delightful.
Oh, I thought she was amazing. I mean, I really thought she was delightful. I thought she was just this Italian young girl.
Just genuine.
New York girl. Really genuine. And it was really funny because, you know, afterwards I was like, I'd love to have you on my show. And she's like, of course, you know. It was like not a bigger big deal. Right. It's a no-brainer.
Right. Now you couldn't even get like
I don't even know who her manager is now. But yeah, and within, you know, and I kind of predicted that she would be huge in my announcement, which we have videoed where I said something like, you know, I think she's a cross between Madonna, David Bowie, and Grace Jones, I think is what I said. And I said, I think she'll be bigger than Madonna one day. And I don't know why I said that, you know, because I hadn't even seen her perform yet. But I was just hearing, like, we got the news while she was back, while we were sitting backstage at Circuit. Her manager came back and said, look, look, your song on Billboard Online in the UK just went to, like, number two. Like in 4 days or something like that. It was something kind of pretty extraordinary. I don't remember the stat it was, and or maybe it went to number one. And I was kind of like, huh. And then they were like, yeah, she's going to be appearing on the Miss Universe pageant and something, something. And
meanwhile, within 6 months, at Circuit.
6 months, she was opening the Grammys. Wow. So she became huge. And the next time she appeared here, she was at the United Center. So
amazing.
It's kind of
astronomical.
Yeah, the trajectory is straight up.
It's the luck of the Amy.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I used to say. I used to say I was the rainmaker, right? but yeah, Lady Gaga was with us in 2008, and that was just really an interview. And what's great, guys, is while I'm talking about this, is like you can go back to our website, WindyCityCareerCast.com, and if you're like, oh my God, I love that person. I didn't know Amy interviewed them or she was on the Queercast. Go back and listen. You know, it's kind of funny,
archived.
Like what's going on in the world, you know, at that time. And, you know, she was so fresh. There was just, she had met our good buddy Deb Pierce from Toronto. And so she ended up appearing on Proud FM with Deb as well. And we talk about, you know, being in Toronto. And so, I don't know, just interesting what changed in her life. Cyndi Lauper has been one of our frequent guests on the show.
Amazing.
I think the two people who I think may have been on, well, I know the person I think has been on the most, which is Sandra Bernhardt. And I don't know why, just because when she comes to town, I love any excuse to talk to that woman and
right.
hear what's going on, what her mind thinks about what's going on in the state of affairs. But Cyndi Lauper, I mean, how much her life has changed in 600 shows from starting her foundation
right.
And her big concert tour to help with bullying and help with PFLAG to writing a Broadway-winning show.
Being a Tony Award winner.
Winning a Tony Award, coming and living in Chicago for a while they tried out Kinky Boots. You know, just how much she's done for our community
yeah.
in such a huge way, right?
Big time. Oh, yeah, She's like a lady mensch.
She can a lady not be a mensch?
A mensch means man.
Oh, okay.
But it means good man. Like uh-huh. It means a good person, so it's like a lady
she'd
mensch.
Probably be okay. She'd probably oh, be sure. okay with being a good
she'd
man.
She'd know exactly what I mean. She would know, trust me, Mishpacha, she would know exactly what I mean.
Exactly. We've had, you know, some great guys on from RuPaul, who, you know, has also in the past, you know, 8-9 years had the success of RuPaul's Drag Race and all of that. Cheyenne Jackson.
Right.
Broadway star and
well, he was also on Glee and he was on 30 Rock.
And Behind the Candelabra.
Behind the Candelabra. I mean, yeah.
Levi Kreis, our buddy who's now a Chicagoan who won the Tony Award
yes.
and openly gay and
right.
fabulous.
I think he just moved back to New York, I think he said.
Did he?
Yeah, because I think he's doing another show.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. You know, we've had some amazing, I call them the moms, Sharon Gless, everybody's
right.
favorite mom from Queer as Folk, and Judy Shepherd, who's been with us. And you know, we started talking to Judy. She was on in 2006, I believe, and She's been on more than once, but, you know, she's either been encouraging us to get out and get the vote out, and now with the passage of the Matthew Shepard, James Byrd hate crime law, and just, you know, really, I felt like almost every year we marked the anniversary of Matthew Shepard's birthday or death in such a significant way, yeah, of what it's meant to the community in the past decade plus years.
Who surprised you the most? Like, what interview do you think that you were like, wow, I didn't know that I was going to get touched by this? I mean, I know what I have a theory about who that is, because I remember you being very touched by this person.
Ooh, okay, you tell me who yours is.
I remember you being very, very moved by Shelley Wright.
Yeah, yeah.
The country singer.
Yeah.
And her story and her sort, yeah, of coming out, and then the backlash against that.
Yeah, I've had Shelley on the show twice, like right when she came out, and then just recently, about her Kickstarter campaign for her sophomore, or for her, wasn't her sophomore CD, sorry, her CD, her newest CD that she hasn't even put out yet. Yeah, I mean, Shelley Wright really touched me because I really identified with her story.
And her upbringing.
If you just take away the fact that I wasn't a country music star.
No, but you're a singer and you're from the South and you, yeah, you know, you're a lesbian.
I'm a lesbian. I'm a femme lesbian.
Femme lesbian.
I took the test on, there's this test like, which character are you on Friends, or which fairy tale character are,
oh,
you?
Yeah,
which character? And one of them was, which kind of lesbian are you? And I was a straight girl when I took
That's
the test.
Hilarious.
And I changed it once just to see, okay, I'm going to change it. I'm still a straight girl, whatever that means.
Hilarious.
I am a card-carrying lesbian. Mitchell can attest.
What's funny, I took that same thing that gave, it was like more like a percentage thing, like how...
Where are you on, like, the Kinsey scale?
Oh, like how, like, how, like, lesbian, like, and I was like 55% feminine.
Well.
Which I really,
well,
like. Well. Well, I like it. Listen, but, when you have the legs.
That's right. When you have the caps. Yeah, Shelley Wright was really powerful. And what was exciting to me was to interview her the second time and to realize it wasn't just lightning. Like, I really enjoyed her.
Yeah, I felt like there was a connection when I listened to you guys together.
To see how far she's come. And to also understand that with coming out came consequences for her, and, you know, and that country music still has a long way to go to embrace LGBT performers, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
But good for her, because she'll be able to do this, and she got such an overwhelming amount of support for her Kickstarter. Her book is beautiful, and her documentary, I thought, was just so truly transparent in a way that was absolutely engrossing to me. And she shared, just even on this last, I think it's also the guest, you know, being super open. And she was, she shared what she had never shared before on this most recent podcast, just in the past couple of months, about her final visit with her mother, who she was estranged from before her mother passed, and being there for her mother's passing, her mother who had rejected her when she came out publicly because she didn't tell her mother before she went on the Today Show.
Wowie.
And just the redemption of seeing the entire arc of that story in just two shows in such a short period of time. And, you know, she even said, I haven't talked about this before. And those are really beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. I think another surprising interview was I think many of the guys know who their favorite guy character was on Queer as Folk. And for us lesbos, we knew who our favorite character, even though we had wanted to throw our shoe at the television set many weeks. We knew who our favorite character was in The L Word. And mine is Jennifer Beals.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Of course. And I got an interview with her, and I was really excited. And it was voice to voice on the phone. And she couldn't have been a colder fish.
Wow.
And more difficult to interview of probably my career. And that's not talking about just the podcast. It's
right,
talking about
like,
before, since 1997, 1998, when I started on Lesbian Gay Radio. And I was just so devastated. It's like, don't have expectations, right? Like, don't have hopes.
I wasn't asking that question. I wasn't sure if you were going to dish. I was going to ask you that question. Who did you find to be? I remember when Donahue retired and he was asked, he said that Warren Beatty was his most difficult because he was so reticent to share anything. And so you found Jennifer Beals to be
She was so awful. So then there comes this occasion when, you know, you get to know publicists and PR people who want you to have their people on the... on the show, because if somebody's coming on this show, I would say 9 out of 10 times, it's not our only reason for having somebody on, but somebody has something to sell. They have something to talk about. They have something to promote. They have something to let you know about, right? Unless we're letting you know about topical news, but even that is kind of trying to sell you on an idea.
Right.
Let you
or
know.
Like with Mike last week, us or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, us wanting people to know about
That's absolutely
his show.
Right. You know, so I mean, we're providing information, hopefully about a product or a person or a law or a bill or something that needs your support or a march, you know, whatever it is, you know, we're trying to kind of rally people. Well, I get this call from a publicist at Carol Fox and Associates, a great PR firm here in town. And Nick calls me. He says, "Hey, I want to know if you want to interview Jennifer Beals." And I was like, yeah, okay, maybe. He goes, "She's coming in town because the Dalai Lama is coming to town." And I'm like, I said to Nick, I said, "Are we talking Jennifer Beals, like Flashdance Jennifer Beals? Like, why are you mentioning Jennifer Beals and the Dalai Lama in the same sentence?"
Well, have you ever seen them in a movie together?
Yes, exactly. I've never seen them in a movie together. And he goes, I know, but she was here filming Chicago Code, that ill-fated, not very good television show. And she's here doing that, and the Dalai Lama is coming to town. And she literally called like this foundation that's sponsoring him and said, "If you need any help, I just want to volunteer." And she just meant like, I mean, literally like volunteer, like stuff envelopes or whatever. And they made her like this spokesperson for the Dalai Lama coming to town. This foundation and group that was bringing him to town. And so I was going to be interviewing the head of the group bringing the Dalai Lama to Chicago and Jennifer Beals. And I was like, okay. I said, I'll bite.
Right.
And this all sounded so crazy. And so then he said, "Well, we will you come down to the Gene Siskel Film Center downtown Chicago and do the interview?" And I thought, no. I live on the north side of Chicago.
Right.
I had a phoner with her where she was like crickets and not warm at all. And I wasn't asking her anything personal. I mean, I was trying to talk about gay stuff because she was on the L word and it's a gay podcast, but I wasn't asking her if she was gay. I know she's not gay. Or I was doing nothing untoward. And anyhow, he was like, "We really, really want you to do it face-to-face." And I was like, "Nick, I don't know." And he goes, "I'll give you the last interview of the day." Because they were doing like a junket where they sit down and talk to people. And I said, "Okay." And I went down and met her. And face-to-face, well, A, she's stunning.
Yeah, of course, she's gorgeous.
Stunning. Like, it's like... she has that brown sugar skin that is just like gorgeous, shiny, beautiful, effervescent, like gold is flecking off of her skin as she walks by.
All right, keep in your pants.
I'm just saying the woman is really beautiful. Like beautiful. But then I met this lovely gentleman who was with her, and I'm so sorry right now, his name is escaping me because he was so brilliant and she was so open and warm and so comfortable. And it was delightful. It was one of the most compelling interviews I've done.
Did you say to her last time you were on, you were such a bitch?
I don't know if I said that to her. I definitely said it on my podcast, you know, following it. And I don't know what I said. I don't remember that, but I just remember being so pleasantly surprised and thinking this really directs my pop culture, a little bit of my sexuality based on that she's so hot, and a lot of my spirituality in one conversation. Not that I'm a Buddhist, but any conversation about spirituality or religion I am interested in. and have been interested in, because I don't think it's topics that are discussed a lot in LGBT news, entertainment, and politics. And so it was kind of this interesting marriage of things for me that, you know, somebody got to have a second.
So weirdly, she was one of your worst and one of your best.
That's right. Weirdly, she was the worst, I would say, and one of the best.
Amazing.
Which was kind of nice, and I really enjoyed that. I've had, you know, the Indigo Girls on separately many times. You know, we've had Jerry Nunn as one of our correspondents, and he has had wonderful interviews with Andy Cohen and Carson Kressley. And he also had the late Joan Rivers on, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I will say that through the years, I just thank you all for, and Tracy Baim, I guess I should thank Tracy Baim for allowing me to have the opportunity to be able to interview two of my lifelong crushes. And I think I'm going to break for the news and let you all ponder who those might have
been.
Well,
I know.
Do you know?
I know one of them is anyway.
Okay, well, we'll see. But then we'll come back. But there's a lot going on in the news. We're so happy that you're joining us for the 600 show.
Well, I was just going to say, when we come back to, I'm going to force you to say who your favorite co-host is.
Okay, we'll do that when I come back to. I'll have to think about it.
I'm sitting right here.
God, I got some news to think about it. All right. We've got the news with Kirk right now and what's going on in the theater scene this week.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
The Elton John AIDS Foundation announced nearly $1.5 million in new grants, including a new program aimed at addressing the rampant stigma against HIV-positive people and the LGBT community. The initiative also includes a particular emphasis on programs for transgender people, with Transgender Law Center among the organizational partners.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor issued an order blocking same-sex marriages in Kansas. Sotomayor's brief order, issued November 10th, puts a lower court order allowing same-sex couples to marry on hold. The delay, temporarily preventing issuance of licenses to gay and lesbian couples in Kansas, will remain in effect until there is a further order, either by Sotomayor or by the full court.
Philadelphia's LGBT community joined Mayor Michael Nutter to announce plans for the 50th anniversary celebration of the LGBT rights movement. It was July 4th, 1965, when 40 gay and lesbian protesters stood outside Independence Hall in what is believed to be the nation's first protest for LGBT civil rights. The LGBT 50th anniversary celebration will take place July 2nd through the 4th.
Clay Aiken may not have won a seat in the House of Representatives, but he did score a four-hour docuseries on Esquire. Esquire revealed that the camera crews had been following Aiken throughout his congressional campaign. The currently untitled documentary is scheduled to premiere in early 2015.
Democrat Mara Healey won the race to become Massachusetts' next attorney general. Healey will be the first openly gay state attorney general in the U.S.
Also in Massachusetts, Seth Moulton, an Iraq war veteran and the first-time candidate, won the 6th Congressional District November 4th as he defeated gay Republican Richard Tisay.
A Nevada Republican has failed in her bid to become the first openly transgender state lawmaker in the U.S. Democratic Assemblyman Mike Sprinkle defeated Lauren Scott by a 54% to 46% margin.
On November 5th, a Missouri judge ruled that the state's same-sex marriage ban was unconstitutional, ordering St. Louis registrars to begin issuing licenses to same-sex couples who want to get married. Attorney General Chris Koster appealed the decision to the state Supreme Court. However, he is not asking for a stay of the judge's order, prompting couples to rush to get married.
On the eve of Veterans Day, the American Military Partner Association once again called on the Department of Veteran Affairs to immediately begin granting full and equal benefits to legally married LGBT veterans and their spouses.
The transition team for Republican Illinois Governor-elect Bruce Rauner includes at least three members of the LGBT community. They are Ron Huberman, a former Chicago Public Schools CEO who is now a private equity manager, Mark Cozy, president of Lincoln Park Capital Group, a private equity firm, and Ryan Ruskin, who heads the Ruskin Group, a sustainable packaging firm.
President Obama will nominate Loretta Lynch to replace outgoing LGBT equality champion Eric Holder as Attorney General of the U.S. HRC praised the decision based on her record on civil rights. Lynch currently serves as the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York.
In Texas, a state district judge signed an order to stop offering health and life insurance benefits to the same-sex spouses of married city employees in Houston. He cited the Texas Defense of Marriage Act and the state's legal definition of marriage as between one man and one woman.
Government employees who receive their health insurance coverage through Aetna will be eligible for gender reassignment operations next year. The company announced last month that it will cover the surgery for federal employees in all 50 states.
Kellogg's sponsorship of Atlanta's Gay Pride March and outspoken support of the LGBT community has incensed a national right-wing organization. The American Family Association slammed the appearance of an advertisement featuring Kellogg's icon Tony the Tiger, which touted the International Food Corporation's pro-LGBT accomplishments. Burger King, Starbucks, and Nabisco's Honey Maid have also made headlines in recent months for pro-LGBT advertisements and gestures.
South Carolina's attorney general is asking a federal judge to toss out a challenge to the state's gay marriage ban. Attorney General Alan Wilson argued that the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision that states have the right to set rules for marriage supports South Carolina's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage.
In world news, Latvian Foreign Minister Edgars Rinkevičs came out as gay on his Twitter page. Rinkevičs tweeted in Latvian before he came out that he supports a legal framework for all types of partnerships in the former Soviet Republic. In addition, he used the hashtag #ProudToBeGay. Rinkevičs, 41, came out less than a month after the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association's annual European conference took place in Riga, the Latvian capital.
Uganda plans to introduce a new anti-gay law that will withstand any legal challenge. It will not explicitly refer to homosexuality, but rely on the penal code, which prescribes a life sentence for unnatural acts. Activists say the plan is more draconian than the anti-gay legislation annulled by the courts in August.
Lesbian WNBA superstar Brittany Griner was the victim of an attack in China, although she was not seriously injured. A man with a knife cut the 6'8 Phoenix Mercury star while she was getting back on the team bus. The man also stabbed one of Griner's teammates, but she was wearing two jackets and the knife didn't go through.
More than 1,000 transgender women staged Bangladesh's first ever pride parade to mark 1 year since the government recognized them as a third gender. The Hijras, as transgender women are known in the conservative Muslim country, brought the busy roads of Dhaka to a standstill with their singing and dancing.
The LGBT publication The Advocate has named Russian President Vladimir Putin as its 2014 Person of the Year. The magazine stated in a press release that Putin's crusade against LGBT Russians and the outrage and protests his actions sparked earned him the title.
The world's largest publisher of travel books, Lonely Planet, has ranked Copenhagen as the most gay-friendly travel destination in the world. The Danish capital topped the list ahead of New Zealand, with no particular city mentioned, Toronto, Canada, Palm Springs in the U.S., and Sitges in Spain.
In entertainment news, Grammy winners Culture Club announced that its 6th studio album, Tribes, will be out in early 2015. The first single, More Than Silence, the original band members performed on The View on November 6th. The band is also touring North America throughout November.
Downton Abbey has been given a 6th season on PBS's Masterpiece. Season 5 completed its UK run on November 9th, premieres on PBS in the United States on Sunday, January 4th, 2015.
Eurovision's drag queen winner, Conchita Wurst, has released her first new song since winning the singing competition in May. The new track, entitled Heroes, is a power ballad and released the single off the high-profile performance at the United Nations to support the organization's work fighting anti-LGBT discrimination.
Discovery Life Channel commenced production on the docuseries Those Girls. Those Girls is a documentary series that looks at a group of transgender friends living in Kansas City, Missouri, and will premiere on Discovery Life Channel in March of 2015. The series follows four pairs of couples and friends, best friends Cassidy and Chloe, couple Tanya and Jamie, Married couple Macy and Sharon facing relationship hurdles since Macy's recent transition, and Robin and Andrew, previously best friends before Robin's transition and are now romantically involved.
HBO has confirmed new seasons of Girls and the gay drama Looking. They will air beginning January 11th. Looking, with a 10-episode second season, revolves around three friends in San Francisco who explore the varied options available to a new generation of gay men.
And Glamour magazine has named Good Morning America's Robin Roberts and transgender actress Laverne Cox of Orange is the New Black among its Women of the Year. Roberts came out last December in a Facebook post thanking her longtime partner for her support.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 17th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Chicago Shakespeare invites you to set sail on Shakespeare's miraculous odyssey, Pericles, filled with adventure, romance, wonder, and redemption. Hailed as one of North America's best classical performers by the Chicago Tribune, Stratford Festival actor Ben Carlson takes on the title role beginning November 30th. For tickets to Pericles, visit chicagoshakes.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash hit rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit MillionDollarQuartetLive.com, now playing at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me.
So we're back. It's our 600th show.
Yeah.
I do want to say thank you to Andrew Davis and Kirk Williamson. Andrew Davis, our editor at Windy City Times and our news editor for the Queercast every week, providing us with great local, national, international, and entertainment news every week. And Kirk Williamson for doing the news with me the majority of these 600 shows. It's been so lovely to have a weekly little recording session with Kirk, yeah. and us to just kind of check in.
I think over
in.
The times that I've done the show, and I don't even know how many shows I've done with you, but I think twice, I think maybe Kirk was out of town or something like that, and twice I think I've read the news with you or something. So that means that he's done it.
He's done it a lot. Yeah. He's done it a lot. You know, early on he was, you know, not a part of our news segment, and we did the news segment alone, But you know, and I guess I should say, I'm going to keep you all waiting on who are my two lifelong crushes and who's my favorite co-host.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the years, we've had different people contribute. And I do have to say right now that, you know, the Queercast would never have been. It never would have happened podcasting. I am a Luddite, which means I know nothing about technology. I mean the interwebs, it's good. I just have to quickly press play and
I'm
listen.
With you.
right?
So I have a, you know, I have a $2,000 email machine upstairs.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I know nothing about it, really. I mean, you know, the 10-year-old and 13-year-old in my life can create PowerPoint presentations and do these fabulous things. And I'm like Pavlov's dog. They say, like, press here, then put it in this folder, then put this folder onto this website, and then somebody else magically makes it all happen.
Thank goodness for our techie friends.
That's right. So I want to thank, you know, really the genesis, the seeds of this, the Windy City Queercast. Of course, Tracy Baim for saying, hey, continue doing what you're doing with radio. We want that here at Windy City Media. Peter Mavrikos, my Greek friend, my blonde, blue-eyed Greek, who I haven't seen in a number of years. But, you know, Peter and I launched the Queercast, and he really had all the technology end of it, and I had all of the radio end of it. And the radio end would be talking on my back porch to the tree if I didn't have the technology under it. And I just really thank Peter for that forever. And so Peter and I were, you know, co-hosts for a number of years. And then I've brought in, when Peter said, you know, I need to leave, I'm changing careers, I'm going to go do some other things. He was like, you've got this, go. That's when Kirk came on, started doing the news with me. And I decided that, you know, if I was going to co-host a show, wouldn't it be fun to just have a variety of people?
A roster of
all stars that I got to talk with. And so, Mitchell Fain became one of the earliest and easiest. Do you know what your first Queercast was?
I think it was about Santa Land, wasn't it?
It was not.
It wasn't?
Uh-uh. Do you know what year it was?
I want to say...
Because you were a guest. Was it? And then you came into my life, moved into my house, and you've never left. Are we like the lesbians?
It's true. I came with a U-Haul. Well, I'm 55%.
That's right. You got those calves, those legs.
Exactly.
I am a leg girl.
Boy, I guess I don't know. I guess it was it 2007?
Mm-mm.
Earlier?
Yes.
Really?
You came in our first year. Yeah. I wrote it down.
Oh my goodness, tell me.
You came October. You didn't came. You came. That sounds so dirty.
I did just now, actually. on your lovely chocolate brown throw.
That's right, from Pottery Barn. we started in April, and by October of 2006, you were appearing in Sheer Madness.
That's right.
Downtown.
That's right.
Chicago Theater.
Yep, downtown.
And you and I met in Boys Town, I guess, Lakeview.
That's right.
At the corner Starbucks at Clark and Belmont.
That's right. It was about Sheer Madness.
And we talked about Sheer Madness. And it was through that I was like, what? You're sleeping on somebody's couch?
I was not sleeping.
I know, you were house sitting.
I was house sitting because I had given up my apartment before I went away.
Right.
And then
you're not homeless or anything. Right. You just had to decide you were totally transitioning back.
I had like an entire house to
sleep. You were transitioning.
I was transitioning. I was transparent.
Transitioning to a straight girl. Right. But to 60% feminine.
I wasn't couch surfing. I was actually like being paid to like watch someone's house.
That's right.
But but I didn't know where I wanted to go next, if I even wanted to stay in Chicago or like what neighborhood I wanted to live in if I did. And that ended up being a very fortuitous interview.
It was great. It was life-changing for me, life-changing for you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Sheer Madness. While it was great employment for 2 years, it was, on a side note, it was the theatrical equivalent of Jennifer Beals interview.
Yeah.
It was like, it was truly one of the most soul-crushing experiences. I'm sure people find it very, very funny, and I don't want to diss it. I mean, the people I worked with were fantastic. Yeah. But it was a weirdly soul-crushing experience, show. I mean, I was glad to do it.
For two years. How many people can say they have a soul-crushing two-year show? Because soul-crushing means you open for 3 weeks and you close.
It just was like, it made me doubt what I thought was funny and all this sort of stuff. I mean, you know, bless everyone who does that show, and there are people who enjoy the heck out of it, and it's never closed in Boston. Yep. It's the longest running non-musical in American theater history, which says a lot about the American taste.
Yes.
But anyway, it was soul crushing. So I'm glad that's over. But what came out of it was me living here.
You living here. And then you quickly started doing Santaland.
Santaland and Second City.
Which we've been following you doing every year. And your cruises away, which have taken us to so many beautiful places.
Yeah, I've had so many adventures since then.
Yeah. I mean, I just think of all the places we've gotten to go on the podcast because of you, whether it's been the Mediterranean or Alaska or Hawaii, or the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and with my travels on the show, I've done podcasts from Vancouver, of course, Toronto with Deb Pierce, one of my other quickly aligned co-hosts, because I wanted my my lesbian, more butch self in the northern sister part of the continent of Canada, Toronto, New Mexico, because I've literally interviewed people and done many a podcast from New Mexico, Vegas, Tennessee, of course. I've gone to Greece and I've gone to Italy and done podcasts there in New York City. So we truly have had this be global. We've had global things we've referenced, you know, that you've been to, clubs that you've been to, or places that I've been to.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty profound.
And it's been, wow, and it's been...
Luckily, we put you on a ship and Second City footed the bill. And we got a bird's eye view of, like, everything.
Right. Wow, that's really
amazing. An insider scoop. Other co-hosts, I mentioned Deb Pierce from Toronto, who's been with me since the beginning. Coleman Domingo, extraordinary actor who's now gone on to have this enormous career on stage. He also had a Tony nomination in the Scottsboro Boys while he was on our show. He's doing the Scottsboro Boys right now in London in a long run. We've seen him be on the Big Gay Sketch Show.
Right.
He was in The Butler. He was the opening shot in the movie Lincoln, and he's now going to be in Selma, which is about to come out.
Amazing.
So he's had this amazing career.
Passing Strange.
He had done Passing Strange before. I'm sorry, but that's all happened since he was been on our
He's a talented boy.
Just amazing. We're blessed now whenever he gets to come on. I am trying to get him back on to talk about Selma. Scott Duff, who moved back to town, and I kind of scooped him up, who now has his own show on Out Chicago.
Yep,
and
WCPT.
And, runs the big Chicago, and, you know, just kind of watched how he's really... put himself firmly in the middle of this community.
Right, he calls himself the professional gay.
Yes, he is the other professional gay. I'm the professional lesbian, and he's the professional gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's been really great to have him back here. Alexandra Billings, who, of course, has been our enormous voice for the transgender community and the HIV/AIDS community over the years, but also... now with her hit show Transparent. Right. I mean, once again, Rainmaker. I'd like to just say that this is what I do.
The great thing about Alex, of course, is that, you know, of course she's sort of a reluctant activist, right? She's an activist by living your life out loud. And so both as an HIV/AIDS sort of spokesperson and a transgendered spokesperson. But I think the thing that when people, now that her fame is becoming even more sort of national, and not as, you know, of course she's a legend in Chicago, you know, Chicago Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame. What people need to know about Alex that I'd like to say is that she's truly one of the funniest people that has ever been born on the planet.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, and I make my living with funny people. And she's as funny as anyone who's ever been.
Yes.
So, like, well, all of the serious stuff about her and her activism, please remember that Alex is not afraid of a fart joke.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No, she is the funniest person.
Yes, exactly. That anyone's ever met.
That anyone's ever met.
Exactly.
Steven Rader, speaking of funny people.
Funny people.
I mean, Steven Rader, been on so many of these shows with me. We became friends through his work with Season of Concern. And also just wonderful to have a fellow Tennessean with me on the Queercast so many times, to have my fellow hillbilly, redneck Riviera, Southern boy. And you know, Steven and I have a very similar trajectory of, like, when we came here, and I think reluctant activism is interesting. Like, we both kind of came here to be in the theater scene and both fell into different ways in which, you know, we've created a career and yet also done theater. And his beautiful, beautiful, stunning performance as Mickey in The Normal Heart this past year. I mean, just, I really thought he should have been nominated for a Jeff, honestly. It was just beautiful. Kelly Simpkins, my ex, which is interesting that you can transition from having your girlfriend on the Queercast to ending a relationship and still having your friend on the Queercast.
Well, it's because you're both extraordinary ladies, and Kelly is, you know, Kelly is just one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly is so smart.
Yeah.
and also so funny.
Yes. And talented.
And talented, but just so sharp.
And she has really been on a national level because of her work with the Laramie Project mm-hmm. and Matthew Shepard. And I think also being a 6'1" gay woman.
Hot woman.
Right. You know, hot gay woman that, you know, and has dealt with, you know, a different perspective on gender mm-hmm. than, you know, I can bring to the queer cast mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, she shared with, you know, on the show about whether people think she's male or call her sir or right. whatever. And sometimes it's just because of her height.
Right,
I
exactly,
mean, she
right.
probably could have had long blonde hair. She did have long hair for a while. You know, since when she was on the show, her hair was probably longer. But, you know.
But she does have that androgynous quality, like
right.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton-esque. Yeah. So she just really brought, I think, a real, and then also just, I think, her real connection with young people based on the Laramie Project mm-hmm. and how many people have told that story and being one of the collaborators on that and actors on that.
For me, it's just about, for
and
me.
She was a newbie to Chicago yeah, when right, she true. Came on, the, which was different than everybody else here. Like, everything was new to her.
Do you remember when I first met her? Remember when you introduced me to her?
I don't.
It was after a Midnight Circus show, Stiletto Circus in Seoul, that Alex Billings was in. Mm-hmm. And it was after,
at
in
Northlight.
The lobby. At Northlight. That's the first time I met Kelly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't remember that.
Yep. That's the first time I met Kelly.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. But, once again, like I said about Alex, for me, the thing that I think about, all those things are true, uh-huh. Kelly. And then also, she's friggin' funny.
Yes, and she's friggin' funny. And then a person that became, that was a segment with Peter. Peter and I got a call about having Ms. Cleo as an interview. And I was like, Ms. Cleo, like, call me now, Ms. Cleo. And right. they were like, yes, Ms. Cleo. And so Ms. Cleo came on the show. Peter and I were literally like salivating. It was so much fun having her on the show. And we started inviting Ms. Cleo on to do her forecast for the upcoming year, kind of her predictions. Along the way, we followed her, you know, in relationship, out of a relationship, traveling to Spain to kind of like what she thinks is her second home. She loves it there. She has really given us the beat on what's happening in South Florida, which is just kind of a really interesting mm-hmm. perspective on LGBT rights and civil rights yeah. and unrest and
I mean, just saying those
controversy.
Words, South Florida.
Exactly. And perspective of an older person mm-hmm. on the show, a person of color, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate.
A woman
of color. Her spoken word, her books, her own show, her own podcast. And so Ms. Cleo feels like a part of the family now. She's kind of the mama to me of the queer cast, and hopefully she'll be on very, very shortly. And also, I guess if we have a mama, I kind of think of him as our he's not really my daddy. I shouldn't say that, but he's kind of a kooky father figure, and also our wonderful movie critic, Richard Knight
yeah,
Jr.,
he's adorable.
Which I just talk about funny. I mean, I love him. The biggest heart, so funny, so wickedly smart about film and mm-hmm. film history. We have been blessed whenever he's come on, either to do a regular segment, which we had for a while, or even just to come on around Oscar time, Golden Globes, mm-hmm. and peak times of the year. So. And then a little shout out, never an official segment, but I have fought really hard to have the B in the LGBT on our show. And Cynthia Holmes and Jack have been on with us a number of times to try to give us some bisexual perspective. And I just appreciate them as well for helping us try to find those opportunities to talk about the B in the LGBT.
I'm
which
dating
has been,
a bisexual right now.
You are. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he would come on. The men are very reluctant, you know.
I bet men would come on. He's also a very funny man. He's a comedian. It's interesting. It's funny that you bring that up because we were just talking about this this morning before.
Yeah.
Before we.
I feel like we've done a really great job with transgender issues, not only because of Alex, but just because, I don't know, just because mm-hmm. there have been interesting things with Candace Kane and with mm-hmm. Lucas Silveri from The Clicks. And
we still
and
live in a society where people expect you to choose. You know, it's like
yeah.
People expect you to choose and, you know, to be gay or lesbian or, I mean, clearly, or not to choose to be transgender, but to like to define very specifically so
yep.
that other people have a more like sort of facile understanding of it, you know?
Yep.
And I think that the B issues mm-hmm. can be more complex because everybody has an agenda about it.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and I think it makes us all feel better if we know what box you fit in, if we just know what your label
right.
is.
It's just so many misconceptions.
I mean, you're dating a bisexual person. I'm dating somebody who, and have been for 3 years now, who wouldn't define themselves, I mean, as bisexual even.
Right.
Just, you know, would use the term fluid or would use the term...
In love with you.
In love with me, you know? And that
I've been there.
Scared the shikey out of most people around me.
Right.
And on paper, not that it was on paper, it wasn't an application, but if you put it on
paper...
No,
I wrote it down.
If you put it on paper, it would have scared... It would be scary, but it's been the best relationship I've ever been in and the first relationship where I felt like every day we've both been all in to wherever we both are right. at this point in our lives, which is not the same as when I was 20-something or even early 30s where
we
I was like, move in and come in.
We should do
in.
A show soon specifically like
yeah.
about the bee.
Yeah.
More
or
bee.
Being with the fluid person or the...
Yeah, being with the fluid person. Like, what does that feel
I think
like?
This is the new modern thing, you know?
Well, there's the whole phenomenon of the mostly straights. I was just talking about this, too. There's a whole... I don't know if you've ever heard of this whole thing, the mostly straights.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I can't speak for women, obviously, because I don't have relationships with women because I'm definitely on the G side.
I'm writing this down so we can talk about the mostly straights.
Mostly straights. Like. It's a generation of men... that I've encountered, mostly young, because you know, I know so many young people because of the being an actor and a circus performer and, you know, in Second City and traveling the world and meeting people. Mm-hmm. And people who consider themselves mostly straight.
Yeah.
And it's that fluidity, you know, they right. don't necessarily consider themselves bisexual because that sort of implies that they're actively seeking relationships yeah. with members of the same...
The opposite sex.
Right. Or the same sex, whatever.
Right.
And it's more just like... 98% of the time, it's like Josh Henderson, who's in the news every day because he's in the Hunger Games, right?
Oh, Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, yeah, sorry. And, you know, he said last year,
right.
Right now I would say, I would describe myself as 100% straight, but he's the perfect example of the mostly straight.
Yep.
But he's like, who knows who I'm going to meet in 2 years from now? I see men all the time that I think are incredibly attractive
right.
or like intriguing and I want in my life. Who knows who I'll be in 2 years.
Right.
I would think of him, he's sort of like, in some ways,
he is interesting because I mean, straight. You know, the diver, what's his name?
Who's with Tom Daly? The one who's with Dustin Lance Black.
Yeah, because he had said first too that, right, that he was, but now he's in this relationship. So once you're in a relationship, see, that's the thing. Once you're in a relationship, then people, you kind of then have to really fight for it. Like Anna Paquin,
right.
we're mentioning celebrities just so everybody knows who the
right.
person is, but you know, Anna Paquin said she was bisexual, right? And then she married the dude from True Blood who
right.
plays
right.
plays the main vampire.
My sister.
Name.
I mean, so not about celebrities. My sister. Uh-huh. You know, growing up, my sister was sort of like always dated the cutest boys and whatever. Presented anyway as very hetero and presented as very
yeah.
femme, although very open and you know. Didn't have any issues when I came out. In fact,
yep.
she was like bored by it almost yep. immediately.
Yeah.
And then dated almost exclusively dated women for almost 10, 12, maybe
yeah.
15 years.
Yeah.
And now is in a very serious relationship with this really great guy.
Yeah.
And so.
So that's truly, you
and
know,
and,
that's
and,
truly an
and
example.
And she has had to deal with the idea of people thinking that she's fickle or indecisive, and she's like, "No, I'm very decisive.
Yeah,
you know, I only date one person.
Very flexible,
right? I only date one person at a time.
Right, monogamous, but
right, a serial monogamous, you know.
Right,
but
so gender is
it's very interesting. This is a very interesting topic.
Well, good. We gave a little bee here, even on our 600 show.
Yeah,
we definitely. It is definitely.
I am fascinated by it. I guess because I'm dating someone.
Well,
who
I guess it has
very
been
decidedly.
For me too. Yeah, it has been. For me too recently, I just haven't been spending a lot of time talking about my, you know, and I guess this brings up and we can kind of, you know, I could talk for hours about the history of this
podcast. Well, you could
podcast.
Talk for hours.
I could talk for hours about anything, especially if you're sitting across
I know,
me.
Right? Between the two of us.
But I do want to just make sure that, you know, because we've had these topics that have been, you know, topics that I think are cyclical or always effervescent for us topics that we've had on the show. You know, the obvious ones are like an awards show or something like that,
right?
Right? But we have had these topics about youth that I think have been very significant. You've brought a lot about young men and how we're raising young men. And
right, exactly, and how I feel about how what our responsibility is.
Our responsibility to our young people.
Our young people, gay, straight, male, female.
Yeah, to
what we're teaching.
Right, I mean, Into the Woods Will Come Out has a beautiful
right.
song, you know, children will listen.
They
learn from us of how to be, you know.
Yeah.
Sondheim wrote that lyric, and it's totally true. We've also talked a lot about becoming parents, you know, whether that's been because we've watched Deb Pierce go through insemination, be pregnant,
right.
give birth, and now raise a child, or I have children that have now come into my life through my girlfriend. Also, I've just been fascinated over the years of giving, you know, we've had our good friend Brad Cawley on the show, who he and his husband adopted a son. You know, we've really tried to show as many different varieties of what is family and what is building family and becoming a parent for the community. And we've also talked about, bullying. And there's been a lot of conversations of, it's one of the things I think is so great about it being a podcast is that, you know, hopefully any age can listen to this. It's free.
Mm.
We're relatively, age appropriate.
Yeah. I have a potty mouth.
I mean, we have some language, but I think kids today that probably listen to a podcast have heard that.
What do you think? That's I learned not, this language.
Right. You know, so, but I definitely think, you know, it's wonderful to be this anonymous in some ways to be a podcast. That, you know, and to hear a human voice, to hear somebody older than you, to hear these conversations, I hope, you know, that has been useful to people over 600 shows, to just that we are here, you know, and whether it's a closeted 45, 55-year-old person in a small town, to whether it's a young person.
Or like a 15-year-old with his headphones on.
That's right.
Under his covers listening.
Right.
Or, right, because he's afraid that someone's going to know. Or,
right. And there's
or
much about these
listening
shows.
Listening in your car. Or like.
When there's much about these shows that even though I go, gosh, what I talk about today and what I talked about 10 years ago, there's still this universal element of like whenever you come out, you know, whenever you tell people who you are really. And I mean, I have had a radio show and a podcast and have been doing that weekly since 1997. I still have to come out to people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I
so
do.
There is a universality to what we talk
yes.
about here that is super significant. And how many people, you've heard all these names. I mean, I hope I am not forgetting anybody. I'm really trying to remember everybody.
I'm distracting you.
No. I think I have. I feel like, but still, all of those people, all of those names, and I'm not talking about the guests, I'm talking about all the co-hosts, talking about all the contributors, who have helped provide a space and a forum for which the guests then get to show up and we get to hear stories. Because
right.
it's storytelling. This is what we're doing. It's perspective and storytelling.
Yeah.
You know?
Interestingly, you know, one of the things I think is really important about what you're doing to blow a little sunshine up your butt right now is that I clicked on something on Facebook. I try not to click on things that I think are going to be incendiary because I just get mad. But I clicked on this video and there was some fight on a subway between some transgendered ladies of color and some straight boys on a train in. And somebody, I think, posted because they thought it was funny that these transgendered women sort of kicked these dudes' butts, which on some level I get is salaciously funny. Ha, ha, ha. But it's still so, it was so loaded mm-hmm. with a joke, you know.
Yep.
Isn't it funny
yep.
that a transgendered lady is going to kick a straight, you know,
yeah.
the assumption, of course, is that the straight guy's supposed to be superior.
Yep.
And the joke is how emasculating, how funny. And so I watched it and it was awful, because I hate violence anyway. I don't even watch violent movies. I'm just not a violent. I don't like violence. And
yeah.
And then I made the biggest mistake that one can make on the internet, and I'm making a point of that. This is what we're doing. What you're doing is an alternative to this.
Mm-hmm.
I made the biggest mistake that anyone can make on the internet, which is reading the comment sections.
No. Yeah.
And you become very quick. I'm talking. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get through them because there were thousands.
Of course,
thousands.
Because isn't
it
that
wasn't on my friends
that elicits
friends,
like lots of conversations.
On the original mm-hmm. website that this video got uploaded mm-hmm. to. So, I was reading a sampling of the most homophobic, violent, racist, sexist, misogynistic, anti-trans. I mean, the ignorance and the misunderstanding and the misinterpretation and the unbelievable attachment to the villainization of our community means that what you're doing here is very important still. Mm-hmm. We can live in our bubble in your beautiful home under your beautiful throw from Crate and Barrel or wherever it's from, and we can convince ourselves that everything's rosy. And then you click on something like the comment sections and something like that, and you become very aware
Video stories from Russia, which video stories also from
Russia.
But
this isn't Russia. This is New York City.
This is right here.
No, I'm sorry. This was Atlanta. This took place in Atlanta.
That doesn't surprise me.
So right, and so it made me realize as I was preparing to come down here and chat about the 600th show and stuff like that, how that it is very important that we continue to talk, that we continue to give a forum for someone to listen and find out they're not alone, or agree or disagree or whatever. But it is not done because people of privilege like Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, and who are amazing and trailblazers in their own way, because they live in Neil Patrick Harris, who may or may not be People's Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Year. It's you know, he's one of the people and the finalists for that. Not that that means anything, but so there's a level of that kind of privilege in which everything seems rosy with his beautiful husband, and it's great. It's awesome. They're role models, and it's awesome. Back in the trenches, there's still work to be done.
There's still a lot of work
and a lot
to
talk about, and a lot to argue about, and a lot of people and stories to tell.
I think we're going to have to continue this conversation, not next week, because next week I'm going to start kick us into the holidays, just because it's Thanksgiving, and
holidays.
I want to kick us into the holidays with Foiled again and a little bit of holiday music, which I'm excited about.
I just saw their concert. Amazing.
Yes, and your Santa Land as well, which
Santa
is
Land
coming
Diaries.
Up as well at Theater Wit.
Theater Wit. I open November 21st, Friday, November 21st.
Yeah, so this weekend. And then... you run all through December, which is
all through December,
which is fantastic. And people can get that at Theater Wit's website.
Theater Wit's website, yeah.
And I am going, so you should make it. We'll talk about that more as you get the show up. But okay, so my final things are to tell you who my two.
I'm so excited.
Okay, well, one thing that happened that I didn't do: Richard Knight Jr. got Helen Mirren to say hello to me, which
was
pretty exciting.
But I did facilitate you going to see her on SNL.
Yes, you did facilitate me seeing her on SNL. You are my favorite co-host. That was the
answer. Thank you.
The answer to question number one. Woo! Okay. And then my two lifelong childhood idols that are, or through my life idols, I got to interview Lucy Lawless.
Wow.
From Xena Warrior Princess.
Of course.
Which was really exciting, since I spent a year of my life creating a show just so I could be saved by Xena Warrior Princess called Xena Live with Alexander Billings and the lovely Elizabeth Laidlaw. And the other one was that I got to interview Wonder Woman herself, Linda Carter, which was huge.
Wow.
Really, really.
I've heard she's so lovely.
She was lovely. She was really lovely. I really enjoyed her. Just to shout out some other names, just so in case you want to go back through our archives and have a moment of reflection. Many of you are traveling over the holidays. Really easy to download and go back and
super
listen
easy
to some people that you might not know have been on the show. Sarah Waters, amazing lesbian writer. She is now, Stephen King said her book 2 years ago, year before last, The Little Stranger, was the scariest book he'd ever read. He was number one book in Entertainment Weekly, according to him. She's also written, there's always lesbian characters. It's always set in England. She has a new book out, which I am hoping I need to buy this for Christmas. Love her. Leslie Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Always funny to listen to Leslie. Lily Tomlin, hilarious. You know, interestingly enough, on a sad note, we had the most recent interview with Jennifer Hudson right before her mother, her nephew, and her sister were killed, which was such a tragedy. Her interview is so exciting because it was around so much of the excitement that was happening in her life post Dream Girls. Wonderful Chicago girl. I've mentioned a lot of other people. Idina Menzel, had her on right before the announcement of her separation and divorce from Taye Diggs, opening the doors for
you,
for me, not with Idina. Sorry, Idina. No, I'm teasing. I'm not really, but Taye Diggs. And, you know, and then just so many other LGBT leaders and advocates that we've had on the show. You know, you can go through it so easy. Go to our go to WindyCityCareerCast.com, go to our shows page, and just scroll down all 600. And there's just some amazing, going back over it, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, those are just some of the people that I've pulled out to mention. And last but not least, I want to thank Di Sturkey Bowden, now married to her wonderful wife. Thank you so much for being the backbone. Thank you for, as I Pavlov dog and send these things out into the interwebs, that somehow you put it all together with wonderful music,
and pictures
and commentary and all that you do to make this thing then go to all of you listening. So I want to say thank you to all of you listening. And we definitely know who those loyal, loyal friends are of the Queercast who message me and Mitchell. We look forward to having you stay with us.
I love it.
And here's to 600.
Wow.
I need to go have a mimosa or Bloody Mary or something.
Bloody something.
Next week, Rob Lindley on the show with Foiled again. In the upcoming weeks, Megan Murphy, Big Red also. I'm going to bring you a little bit of Hanukkah holiday. It's winter outside. Holiday cheer through music. And then Mitchell, I think, and I will find time in the next few weeks to talk about the Mostly Straights. Hopefully the next few weeks, if not right at the top of the new year. And our fluid friends, and then the year in review with Matt and Andrew. We'll look at the 2014, which is almost a memory. It's been a huge freaking year nationally,
enormous,
internationally, locally, and in the world of entertainment. So, thank you for 600, and thanks for joining me,
Mitchell.
Thank
you, Amy. Thank you,
and I love you all. And I hope you have a good, good week. Let's celebrate.
It's all right. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.